Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the RLF Network, where we provide real-life solutions to real-life situations for Christ-centered living. Listen to our live shows online, chat with our hosts and special guests, or check out our archive recordings by simply typing our web address into your browser, www.blogtalkradio.com/RLF Network. During each show, our phone lines are open for all callers to ask questions or make comments. Just dial area code 347-857-3441. Like us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/RLS Network. And now for our show.
Show, and I am your host, Coach L-I-V-E, Live Your Life. And tonight's topic is I Am a Survivor with guest host, Ms. Deborah Tule. Are you there, Ms. Tule?
Yes, Martika, I am here. I am here. I'm so excited about the call tonight.
Well, thank you so very much, Ms. Tule, for being a part of Miracles Do Happen radio show on tonight. I look forward to whatever it is that God is going to do on tonight's call. So thank you once again for being a guest on tonight's show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so super excited and about the show. Even listening to the song, I'm looking for a miracle, knowing that God is still a miracle worker.
Yes, he is. So before we get started, let's open up with the word of prayer. Dear Father God, God, as we come to you in the need of prayer, God, we say thank you. God, we thank you for allowing us, Father God, to wake up, Father God, allowing us another opportunity to try to get it right with you, God. Father God, we pray that on tonight, Father God, that you have your way on this call tonight, Father God, that you use not only myself but Ms. Tule as well, Father God. And as we talk about being a survivor, Father God, we all have faced some type of trial and tribulation in our life, Father God, that you have allowed to happen, Father God, whether it was to test our faith, to make us stronger, whatever the purpose of the cause may have been, Father God, despite what it is we have been through, we still stand to this day, Father God, to say that we are a survivor, Father God, and it's only by your grace and by you, Father God, that we are able to say that we are a survivor, God. So on tonight, Father God, as this call go on, God, I pray that you have your way, that your will be done, and everyone will walk away with this call, well, from this call, knowing that we are a survivor, despite the trials and the tribulations we have faced in our life. God, we thank you, and we lift you up, Father God, and we magnify your name. God, I pray your will be done on tonight's call, and in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, tonight's topic is I'm a survivor. And like every Monday after prayer, I always like to give you guys a definition of what the title is that we're discussing for the show. So the definition of I'm a survivor, and actually I'm is actually a contraction that is actually combines two with a letter and a word. It combines I'm. Of me, I am, which makes I'm. And the definition of I is the first letter of the English alphabet, a graphic device for reproducing the letter I. And the definition for am is a system for sending radio signals in which the height of a radio wave is changed in order to send information in the form of sound. And it's also mean before noon. A is the first letter of the alphabet, designated A, especially as the first in order or class. Survive, to remain alive, to continue to live, to continue to exist, to remain alive after the death of someone, to continue to function or prosper, and that will make you a survivor. And when I was looking at the definition, it was interesting to me with am. I think I said this once before when I was just reading the definition of what am is and how I said that am is a sending radio signal in which the height of a radio wave is changed. So pretty much when you say I'm, you're talking about yourself. You're talking about you as an individual. And then you compare the definition and who you are, and you think about being that lightness, that light in somebody else's darkness. That's you that's sending that radio signal to somebody else to help produce something positive or encouraging to someone else. So I just thought that was interesting when I thought about I'm and with it being tied in with this title, I am a survivor. So that is the definition of I am a survivor. Ms. Tule, so
yes, ma'am.
What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you that, hold on, what does I'm a survivor mean to you? I'm sorry.
Well, I am, which is makes it personal because it's talking about me. And I often say, and this is for anybody and everybody, can't nobody tell your story like you. And can't nobody share your testimony like you can. So I am the letter A, which makes it personified. I am A, and the word survivor. The word survivor means a person that has been able to function or overcome an opposition, a hardship, or a setback. So when I look at my personal life, looking all the way back from when I was a little girl and we grew up in York on Maiden Lane, I can remember it being so cold outside. We had that old, for those of you who are on the line that can remember, the old coal and wood-burning stove, and how my mom would put, and my grandmother would put that wood and that coal in that, they used to call it a pot-belly stove. I can remember as far back as then being in a position to overcome and to survive some setbacks. These were setbacks that they weren't mine personally, but because I was attached to my mom and some of the things she was experiencing, I was experiencing. And that's the same thing even for us today as adults. We have to realize some of the things that we are experiencing, that our children are experiencing. And because she overcame and I saw her as a strong woman persevering and pressing forward, it actually instilled in me that I can do it. I can push forward. I can move forward despite my opposition, despite my hardship, despite my setback. I can still propel forward.
Amen. And that is, I agree with that. Like you said, despite my setbacks, despite whatever it is, I can still move forward. I am a survivor. So I most definitely I most definitely agree with that. So, Ms. Tule, how did you feel like when I reached out to you? And I'm just curious because I don't necessarily know your whole story. I don't know everything that you've been through, but I do know a little bit about you and, you know, a certain situation that you was facing and battling in your life that you have actually overcame in your life. So when I reached out to you, I'm just curious, how did you feel when I asked you to be a part of the show tonight and when I gave you the topic, I Am a Survivor?
Well, Martika, I really felt honored that you would reach out to me and ask me to be a part of what God is doing in your life. I believe that this is a platform that the Lord has given you and is allowing you to reach the masses, and I really felt honored that you would think of me. Now, me being a survivor, and most people that know me know that in 2012 that I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Normally when you see me with a picture, I'm more than likely going to have on some pink some kind of way, somehow, as most of my pictures do have pink. And that is a reflection of being a survivor from breast cancer. I was diagnosed in 2012 with triple negative breast cancer and had to go through the chemo, had to, you know, experience the radiation as well as surgery. And in the midst of all of that, God continued to show himself strong and mighty. I had an opportunity to write a book that's called Grace for the Journey. And this book is actually, it actually captures what I believe the Lord spoke to me on my personal journey. Each chapter has a survival tip, and the reason it has a tip is because as I was going through my experience, I could not go through it alone. I was kind of in the situation, and I had the opportunity to minister on Hannah recently, but I was talking about Hannah was in the temple, and she was barren, and how she faced a moment of desperation in her life when she knew that no one could do her any good but God. No one could open her womb. No matter how much her husband Abner loved her, there was nothing that he could do, nothing anyone could do to help her. That was my story. That's where I was when I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I knew my husband loved me. My children loved me. I had sisters. I had church family that loved me. But at the end of the day, as much as they loved me, as much as they cared, as much as they wished they could take my pain away and take the cancer from my body, they couldn't do it. I had to go to God. I prayed and I asked the Lord to heal my body, to touch and heal my body, because there's some things in life that can't nobody get you out of but God. In one chapter, I write about the three Hebrew boys and how, you know, when they were facing their trial, it was a threat that if they continued not to bow down to the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar, that they would be thrown into the fiery furnace. They had to make a decision, and their decision was this, you know, oh, King, we're not going to bow down, and we're not going to honor you. What we're going to do, we're going to stand in God, even if it means be going in the fiery furnace. Now, we know the end of the story that they were in the furnace. The same thing with us in life. Sometimes the things are hard. They're hard. They're very difficult that we may have to experience. But even in their story, we see that God got the glory from their story. They had to go in the furnace just like I had to go through the cancer diagnosis. I had to go through the chemotherapy. I had 16 weeks of chemo. I don't wish that I don't have any enemies, but if I had one, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I underwent radiation therapy as well as surgery. I would not. That was one of those things that it's a different story when it's you. That's all I can say. You know, you may be with someone that's going through that and encourage them, pray for them and all of that, and that's great, and that is a blessing. But I promise you, it just takes a different mindset. It puts a different demand on your faith walk when you're called to the table, when you're diagnosed with cancer. So it just kind of propel me into thinking different, speaking different, praying different, believing different. So in the midst of all of that, that's why when you hear Deborah Tulay, most people hear the word survivor.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, honestly, when I reach out to people, I reach out to people, and the topics are based off of what I feel in my spirit. And when I decided to reach out to you, and I was like, you know, she has a story to tell. And it is a lot of different women that actually battle with breast cancer. But I remember when I met you at the event at the Center Hunter event in Fort Mill that time, I knew then. It's just crazy how God allowed things to happen.
Amen. Amen.
Because He allowed us to circle back around, because we spoke. Even when we was playing the game, I even wore your T-shirt. But He allowed us to circle back around and connect with each other. And not only with you being a guest host on tonight's show, but also with me reaching out to you and about the event that I'm going to be doing for my sister Jamisa Mickles on May 21st, it was you that I had to talk to. It was you that I had to actually reach out to and everything. So I believe that everything happens for a reason. And how I ended up even at the event, I thought it was weird. I knew it was nothing but God. So I thank God for the opportunity to actually talk to you and allow you to share your story, because even though, no, we may not all face the same thing, but it could be something that you may have meditated on, or something that you may have used to help encourage you to push you through what you were going through that somebody else can use too. So I believe your story is powerful, and it is meant for you to tell your story to encourage other people.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. So my next question that I have for you, you said something about your book, Grace for the Journey. So could you let us know who Ms. Deborah Tule is? And I understand that you came about the book, you know, because of what you was battling with. But if you could just tell us a little bit more about your book, and are you writing another book? And just tell us a little bit about Ms. Deborah Tule.
Okay. Well, one thing, when I stopped and I look back at my life, and when I look back at that season, I realized, you know, what the enemy meant for bad, God literally used it for His good, and for my good and for His glory, because it was like it was a launching pad. It literally launched me forward into a different place in life. You know, my perspective on life totally changed. I'm an author of a book. I would have never, ever thought that I would be an author. But God gave me an opportunity to link up with a great woman of God that mentored me as I was going through that ordeal, Apostle Norma Gray. She was very instrumental in helping and assisting me to push out what God had deposited in me. And so I wrote the book. It's called Grace for the Journey, and the subtitle is And After the Diagnosis, Survival Guide. So there's the word again, survivor. Survivor, the root word of survival is survivor. So God allowed me to pen this book that captured, you know, kind of play-by-play what I experienced, and probably what a lot of other people experience, male and female, because I don't know if you guys know it or not, but it's not only women that are diagnosed with breast cancer. From time to time, there are men that are also diagnosed with breast cancer. So God allowed me to have an opportunity to pen for someone else to be able to read and get some encouragement, to receive some inspiration and motivation from the Word of God. Each chapter begins with a scripture. There's actually 10 chapters in the book. So each chapter begins with a scripture, and it talks about when I first felt the lump. That's the first chapter, and it's called Unbelievable. The second chapter is called Exposing the Enemy, and that's when I actually received the diagnosis. And some people will even say today, if I ever get cancer, I don't want to know, you know, those types of things. But how many of you know that when you have knowledge, and you know what to pray for? The enemy has been exposed in chapter 2, so we talk about that in there. Then chapter 3, Hope for the Hopeless. And the reason that this chapter is entitled Hope for the Hopeless is because when you face something that is very traumatic, something that you've never faced before and didn't think you'd face, sometimes it can push you to a place of depression. And in chapter 3, I talk about that. Then in chapter 4, we talk about fear cancellation. The opposite of faith is fear.
So when we look at Superman and how he actually had that, what was it called, that kryptonite, the kryptonite, how it will make him weak, that fear will make us weak. So, you know, we can know what the Word of God says. We can read it. We can hear it preached. But when things happen in our lives, sometimes it literally shakes us to our core. It will put a demand on our faith and challenge our faith like never before. So in chapter 4, we talk about fear cancellation and how we were able to overcome fear. Chapter 5, we talk about trusting God after the diagnosis. And chapter 6, the secret. Even today, yes, today, even in the year 2016, people still may be diagnosed with a disease. It may be cancer, it may be something else, and they will say, don't tell nobody. But how many of you all know that the Bible says that one can chase 1,000 and two can chase 10,000? So God will let you know who you can share it with, who you can tell. There are some people out there that genuinely care about you, that will be praying for you, standing in the gap for you. And then chapter 7 is called Tattoo Blues. It was right when I got down to the end and I was going through radiation therapy, I got so down and so depressed and so sad. It was like it was just an overwhelming feeling. And so I talk about that experience in Tattoo Blues. Then chapter 8, I talk about keeping it moving, how you cannot lay down and die when things happen in your life, because what seems like a huge mountain in your today will only be a vague memory in your tomorrow. So you have to keep moving. You have to keep living. Chapter 9 is affirmations and confessions. And then we end the book with chapter 10 with healing scriptures. So this is Grace for the Journey. I've had so many people that have read this book that have shared their testimony of how it really inspired them, how it really propelled them forward in just trusting God and believing God in their endeavor. The next book that I am writing is called 30 Days of Grace that I'm almost finished with. And it kind of, you know, it's still standing on grace, the grace of God. And when I talk about grace for the journey, it's not the grace of God, the merited favor of God, that God gives us, or the grace that we don't deserve, but he gives it to us anyway. But this grace is talking about the strength and the power, the ability, the innate move of God in our lives to help us to press forward and move forward when we're facing what would be an overwhelming or a seemingly overwhelming obstacle. So that's the grace that we're talking about in Grace for the Journey. How God would give you his dunamis power, his strength, his might, his unction to help you to propel forward and move forward. One thing that I also say in Grace for the Journey is through my ordeal, God really inspired in me a passion to live life on purpose. Because nobody knows when their last day on the earth is going to be. Nobody knows that. But the thing about it is live while you're living. And while you're living, live it on purpose. Don't put your life on autopilot and just allow things to happen. But make a decision that life is a gift that God has given to us. And we are to strive every day to live it to the fullest while fulfilling our assignment in the earth.
Amen. While you were sitting there and you was talking, there was a lot of things that you said that actually caught my attention. And one of the things that you said that caught my attention was as far as, like, things is going to happen in life, but we're not supposed to allow, and this is not your exact words that you said, but we're not supposed to allow, you know, things to stop us when things happen. I think you said it was like chapter 8 or 9. When you was talking about one of those chapters, we're not supposed to let things stop us when certain things happen in our life that actually occurs that we're not actually prepared for. And since we're talking about that, I will be honest. I allowed it to happen to me. And it's not a good feeling, or it doesn't feel good when you know that you have allowed certain things to hinder you or to stop you in what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. So that was something that stuck out to me, because I'm guilty of it myself.
Well, I think it's something that we all have to strive to do. You know, I don't think it's something that we ever master, but it has to be a work in progress that we're striving to get better at, you know, and I'm striving every day to live life on purpose. I'm striving every day not to allow the things that I experience in life to stop me or derail me to the extent that I'm not fulfilling my purpose, I'm not fulfilling my destiny. I get so derailed and so off track that now I'm over in la-la land, I'm over somewhere that I'm not supposed to be, and I'm not accomplishing my assignment in the earth. I truly believe that everyone is sent into the earth realm with an assignment, with a purpose and a destiny. And oftentimes we don't know what that entails. When we think about the story of Job, we often look at it from the perspective that Job lost everything he had. He lost his children. He lost his livestock. I mean, Job went through so much. The Bible says that Job had boils from the top, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, that his wife looked at him and said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? And we look at it from that perspective in everything that Job went through. But if we look at the end of the story of Job, how about instead of God looking at Job and saying, I just want to try Job and test Job and see, does he really love me, or see, is Job really committed to me? How be it that God was looking at Job and saying, Job, can you stand to be blessed? Because we know that God gave Job double for his trouble. That Job was far more blessed after his experience than he was before. But oftentimes when we're going through, we have to realize it's not just for today. What we're experiencing today is not just for today. But God is saying to us, if you continue to walk with me, to trust me, to lean on me, to pray, and just to walk through this experience, I'm going to give you double for your trouble. Your latter end is going to be greater than your former. If we would trust God and move by faith and not by sight. So just think about Job's life and his experience. We hear a lot about what happened to him at the beginning. But how about God just looked at Job and he saw how Job was. Job was committed to him. But so it wasn't, and even people, even today, they think when things are going bad with them, when I say bad, I mean they're having an uncomfortable experience. They're having an uncomfortable experience. They start thinking, well, what did I do to deserve this? You know, how did this happen to me? Their friends are looking at them. Well, they must have did something. Same story in Job. Same story. Same back channel, same back time. The same thing. But how about God was looking at Job's life and saying he's blessed now, but I want to bless him even more. Because I promise you, Ms. Strong, Sister Strong, I promise you that my life is so much more rewarding now than it was before. I promise you that I came through, I might have gone in the fire, but I did not come out smelling like smoke. I'm like them three Hebrew boys. I might have had to go through the experience. I might have had to get in the fiery furnace. But when I got in there, I wasn't in there alone. God was there with me. Every time I went to chemo, God was there. Every time I went to radiation, God was there. When I went into surgery, God was there. Every step of the way, he was there. And I promise you that my life is so much more rewarding today than it was before I came. I just give him glory right now. I give him praise right now because I know that what the enemy meant for bad, what he would have liked to have used for my demise, God literally has used this to open my eyes, change my perspective, and propel me forward. So I give him glory for that.
Amen. I have to, one of the things that I'm learning, and I know this, it's not that I don't know because I do know. And one of the things, because sometimes I feel like when some things happen, or whenever, you know, we call on God or we're praying to God about certain situations, that we want it to happen right then and there. We want it to be, you know, we're completely healed right then and there. We don't want to go through the process. And I think that's where I am. I don't want to go through the process. It's like I want to do the work, but I don't want to go through the process. I don't want to go through the fire in order for God to send me on that mission that he has for me in order for me to stand when he sent me. And I think that's kind of like where I'm at in my life.
I could definitely understand that. But the thing that we have to really understand is that all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and that are called according to his purposes. So no matter what is going on in our lives, I mean, nobody likes to be uncomfortable. Nobody can say, oh, I enjoy sacrificing. Oh, my God, I just love it. Most people don't like to sacrifice. Most people don't like to be uncomfortable. But if we change our thought and we change our perspective on it and we begin to confess and declare out of our mouths that what I'm going through right now is for my good, just like the Shunammite woman. When her son died and she went to her husband and she said, let me get a horse and let me get somebody to help me because I got to go see Elijah the prophet today. I got to go see the man of God today. And her husband said, well, it's not time for a feast. It's not time for, you know, to give a sacrifice. And she said, honey, just let me go. And he said, is everything okay? And she said, it is well. Now, think about it. Her son was dead. She had been barren all those years, and her husband was old. But God blessed her with a son. And after the prophet spoke into her life because she was so kind to the prophet and she shared what she had with the prophet. He wanted to be a blessing to her. And so she had a son. And that son, when he died, can you even imagine the devastation that this woman felt? But yet out of her mouth, when her husband asked her, was it okay? She said, it is well. She had to make a declaration, not based on what she saw with her natural eyes, but based on what she believed in her heart, because she believed if I can get through this and back to the man of God, it's going to be well. I think she said first, it shall be well. Then the second time when she got to Gehazi, she told Gehazi, it is well. Then when she got to the prophet Elijah, she said it is well. Because even today, what we may face in our lives, we got to have an it is well in our spirit. Whether it looks like it or not, because we know that we are king's kids with the royal status, because we know who we belong to, because we know we are of the royal priesthood of a holy nation, we got to know who we are and know that although I may be experiencing something right now that I don't like, that I don't want to go through, but because of who I am, because of who I belong to, I know that it's not going to be like this always. This is only for a moment in time. This too shall pass. I will get through this, and I will move forward. And the last thing that you can say is, regardless of what it looks like, it is well. Because if God be for me, who can be against me? Who or what can be against me?
Yes, Lord. So, for all my current listeners, that was currently Ms. Deborah Tulay, and as we talk about, well, we was talking about her book, but tonight's topic is I'm a survivor. And if you have any questions or if you have a comment, please feel free to press 1. If you have a question or a comment, please feel free to press 1. Ms. Tulay, you know, just talking to you is... It's very inspirational in so many ways because I hear your story about as far as, like, you know, what you have actually faced as far as with breast cancer, but then also to know that you have actually wrote a book, and then also because you are a mother, and I know your son personally, and to see the person that he has become, you know, it inspires me on different levels as a mother to know that, you know, it's okay despite what you're going through, what you're facing, you can still raise your child to be who that person God has actually called them to be, or encourage them, or to mold them into that person. And then as far as with you writing, I also write as well. But I have allowed myself to become stagnated in it. It's like I write, and then it's like I stop writing. But then to also hear that you face breast cancer, and I haven't necessarily faced that before, but there's a lot of things that I have faced, and like, you know, that I have actually tried to take my own life, to where just listening to your story and just listening to you, it lets me know that you can still go on. You can survive, and despite all the different trials and the different tribulations that I've actually been through in my life, it lets me know that, okay, I might haven't completed all the things that I wanted to actually complete in my life, but it does let me know that I am a survivor as well.
Amen, amen. And one thing too, my beautiful, beautiful sister, I want you to know, you don't have to do it all in a day. You have accomplished more than a lot of people your age has accomplished. So you can feel good about that. And one thing with God is this. We have to sometimes look at our success stories and how God has brought us through to know he's going to bring us through tomorrow. Now, we can go in the Word of God and we can find the testimonies of old and, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, we can find those testimonies. But if we look back in our own lives, we can see that he was there all the time. He mm-hmm. was there with you. Even when you were facing your moment of desperation, I don't know your whole story. I don't know what you were going through at the time that you felt like you wanted to take your own life. But just know that if the enemy had had his way, because, you know, sometimes we know that the enemy isn't omnipresent. He doesn't know everything. But sometimes he has glimpses of our future. And he wanted to shut you down and shut your mouth before you ever got to this place in life, that you would be, that you would have your own radio show, that you would be encouraging people all over the world. He wanted to shut you down before you got to this place. So, you have something to give God praise for. You have a lot to be thankful for, because a lot of people your age have not yet gotten on board, have not yet gotten a perspective of how, yes, I am a survivor. Yes, God has brought me through. You know, when I look at my life, you know, I remember being a young woman. I remember being a single parent, you know, raising my children by myself. I had my first baby right before I was 17 years old. So I was a single parent at 17. Then I got married. I wanted to do things the right way. I said I wouldn't have another baby until I got married. So I got married. And after I got married, I had two children. And I was still, again, a single parent raising two other children. So if you're out there today and maybe you're a single parent, and maybe it's very hard, extremely difficult, but I can tell you today that God is Jehovah Jireh. He has already seen ahead of your dilemma, and he has already made provision for you. God says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I can remember, you know, having my little children, raising them by myself, and just saying, Lord, please, you know, keep me safe. You know, keep us safe. Keep me healthy. Let me raise my children, Lord, you know, because I didn't want to leave this earth and leave them alone to someone else to raise. But I thank God today that on every hand, God made a way. On every hand, we never went without. Lights were never all. They had food to eat. They had clothes to wear. God made a way. I can't explain to you how he did it, but the only thing I can tell you is he did it. And he did it for me, and he will do it for you. And Marquita, just know you have your success story to look back on how good God's been to you. I know you can probably look at some things that hurt you, some things that disappointed you, that led you to be to that place in your life. But know today that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you have greatness on the inside of you. You have unreleased potential on the inside of you, woman of God. This is only a tip of the iceberg in what God is going to do in your life.
You continue to move forward. You continue to live life on purpose. Make your life a priority. Make your assignment a priority in fulfilling God's assignment for your life. That's your priority. Your purpose, your destiny, that's your priority.
I'm sorry. Thank you, and I received that. I always say, and it just by M show, it seems like I'm always crying.
Be you, sis. Be you. Ain't nothing wrong with being transparent, sis. This is your show. This is what God has given to you. So it's okay to be transparent.
Right. I seems like I always walk away crying by something, because each topic, like I said, every time I reach out to somebody, and a lot of times with this show, I'm like, you know, I'm helping to encourage somebody. I'm helping, you know, to help somebody else, but it always hit right at home also. Every time it always hit at home. And like I said, just listening to you and the things that you have overcame, and you only hit the tip, so I can only imagine. But just to talk about this topic, I did start reflecting back on certain things that I've overcame in my life, and it has been a journey. And to know that despite the things, like you were saying, as far as being a single mother, I'm a single mother now. And it's just like when I was telling you before we logged onto the show, and I was talking to you, and I was like, you know, that was before a second, I had to talk to my baby's football coach. It's like I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that with my kids by me being a single parent. It's like it's a lot. But when I sit back and I reflect and I think about it, along this journey, God has always provided. He has always been there. My kids had never wanted to need it for nothing. And if they ever went without anything, or if anything was ever lacking or whatever, it wasn't because God didn't provide. It may have been because of a choice that I may have made. But
Amen.
It wasn't because God didn't provide.
Amen.
And one of the things that I have to stop doing, because when you were saying, you know, for my age, I have accomplished a lot, I guess because I've always been a big dreamer. I'm still a big dreamer. And I haven't seen the things that God has revealed to me. I haven't seen it. So I guess that's where my issue is coming in there. I have to learn to be patient, and I have to realize also that my obedience, it plays a part in it. But at the same time, it's like right last week when we was kind of talking about the topic of Jonah and how Jonah didn't want to do the assignment that God gave him. And it's certain things that God has told me to do that I refuse to do. So it's kind of like I'm battling with myself, because it's like, okay, well, God, I've overcame this, but why haven't I got to this next level that you have showed, that you have revealed to me, or that I've been praying about? But it's like at the same time, I have to realize that I have to be obedient to God as well, because sometimes my choices and my decision are hindered what God is doing or trying to do in my life. So just because it may be a delay, it doesn't necessarily mean denied.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so I guess that's something that I've just been battling with. But it's like at the same time, I know that I'm a survivor. I've overcame a lot of things in my life. But then it's like, I'm like, okay, well, God, all these things that I've overcame and all these things that I've actually completed and done in my life, like, when is everything gonna pay off? When is this gonna happen? Or I don't know, maybe I'm just thinking out loud.
That is fine. And I think the thing about it too, you know, the Bible teaches us to write the vision and make it plain. And that's one of the things that I'm actually working on right now, is, you know, just really doing some self-examination.
I just feel like, you know, in this hour, each of us have to identify what it is that God has called us to do specifically, and then write it down on paper and begin to do things to move in that direction. And it has to be strategic. I was reading a book, or it's an audio book, that's called One Thing. And it focuses on how sometimes we get so busy in life and we're doing so many things, you know, especially as women, we talk about being great multitaskers. And they did a study that shows that there actually is no one that is good at multitasking. When we actually attempt to do more than one thing at a time, we find ourselves wasting precious time that we, if we honed in on that one thing and accomplished that one thing and then moved on to something else, that we would be more productive and more efficient in the pace that we are going to do, rather than, you know, doing multiple things at a time. So now, write the vision and make it plain. Write the vision. Write it down. Write it down and make it plain. And then focus on that one thing at a time.
And I think that's where my issue coming in at. I was trying to do 1,000 things at one time. So I actually have a fun fact or something to tie in to what we're talking about tonight as far as being a survivor. And it's about Wilma Rudolph. And it states that as a child at the age of 4, Wilma Rudolph was stricken with polio and had problems with her left leg and wore a brace. But at the age of 12, she started walking. Now, they told her parents that she would never walk again, that pretty much that she would never walk again. But in 1960, Wilma Rudolph became the first American woman to win 3 gold medals at a single Olympic game. And I just wanted to tie that in because, you know, we all get down, we all get weary sometimes, but despite it all, I can honestly say that I can encourage myself sometimes to push me through and to help me get through. And so that was something that I wanted to actually encourage you guys with, because a lot of times we allow what people say to determine who we become or who we are. And I know I'm guilty of it. I have allowed myself to do it as well. And the doctors told her parents that she would never walk again. But she was determined, despite what the doctors said, she was determined to walk. And at the age of 12, she was able to walk. And she was a track runner. She played basketball. Mm-hmm. She had a lot of records that people didn't think that she was ever going to be able to break, because they didn't think she was going to ever be able to walk. So I just wanted to tie that story in with tonight to encourage you guys. And as I say this to you guys, I say it to myself as well, we cannot allow what other people say. It is nothing positive. It is not nothing to edify us, encourage us, and to build the body of Christ. We cannot allow those things to determine who we are or who we become, because if Wilma Rudolph would have allowed what the doctor said as far as her never being able to walk, if she would have took that and said, okay, well, I never walk again and never attempted or never tried, she would have never won those 3 gold medals in a single Olympic game. So we have to be determined to continue to push. And we have to know that we are conquerors and we are survivors despite what we're going through, despite what we're facing, despite what we may feel at that moment. We have to know, because right now, even though, yeah, I was crying, and I know the things that I'm dealing with and, you know, certain things. But at the same time, I know that as I reflect and I look back over my life, I'm a survivor. So I just want to encourage you guys with that story. Do not allow anyone to determine who you are, what you will be, and just know that with Christ Jesus, all things are possible. And it can be done, whatever it is that you set your heart to do.
Amen.
Ms. Tule, we have about 10 minutes left before the show comes to an end. So I would like for you, or like to give you the opportunity to let the listeners know how they may be able to get in touch with you, and if they're interested in purchasing your book, like how could I purchase your book if I was interested in getting a book?
You can actually go to Amazon.com and you can purchase it there, or you can visit my website. My website is www.deborahstule.com. That's www.deborahstule.com, deborahstule.com. So you can actually order Grace on the Journey from either one of those websites. Or if you'd like a signed copy, I always try to keep some copies on hand. So if you would ever desire a signed copy, you can give me a call at 803-417-5186.
Okay.
Or you can email me. You can also email me. I'm sorry. You can also email me at debtule@gmail.com.
You said DSTule?
D-E-B, Deb.
Oh, D-E-B.
Yeah, the first three letters of my name, D-E-B-T-U-L-A-Y, DebTule@gmail.com.
Okay, and how much are the books if we're interested in getting a signed copy?
A signed copy is $15.
You said $15?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I will most definitely would like to get a copy of your book so as soon as possible. So whenever you would like for us to meet or I can meet with you, I would like to get my signed copy, please.
Anything you let me know, I would love. I'd be honored to sign a copy for you. And anyone that's on the line tonight, on the show tonight, you're on the show tonight, if you know anyone that has experienced a cancer journey, experiencing one right now, or someone that you would just like to bless with some words of inspiration, Grace for the Journey is truly a book that inspires.
So I have a question as an author, from an author to an author, because no, I don't have my book published yet, but I'm still claiming that I'm an author because my book going to get published.
That's right. That's right.
From an author to an author, what advice would you give me concerning writing my book and trying to get my book published? Because actually, with my book that I have, I had actually got the book copyrighted and I was in the process of getting it published. And I sat down and I met with the lady and she was like, you know, your book is so good, you can really make this book into three different books. And she was like, you can do this, and she was like, you know, I'm just giving you my opinion. And so once me and her talked and I thought about it, and I was like, you know what she said, it really did make sense. So I'm actually in the process of breaking the book down into three different books. And honestly, I think I'm really about done. What I got to do is really type it up to see where I stand it. But I pretty much got everything wrote down on paper. Well, what advice would you give me as far as finishing my book and getting my book published and copyrighted so I can put it out there, so I can have a book signed, so I can be that, you know, that famous Martika Strong, like that famous Ms. Deborah Tule?
Okay, sis, I receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But just what I would encourage you to do. First of all, I think I heard you say you had everything written down on paper. One thing that I would suggest that you do is go on and start typing it in, because it's easier to make corrections, to edit and everything once it's in the computer, and it also will allow you to kind of take a snapshot of what you actually have. So that's one thing that I would strongly suggest that you do. Just go in and start typing in the computer. I also would strongly suggest that you, until you complete your book, that you set aside a time, be it every day or maybe you're going to do it every week. Let's just say you say on Friday night, I'm not going out on Friday nights anymore until I finish my book. You have to put some disciplines in place and set a time, and that is the only thing you're going to do in that time slot is write. I'm going to be writing my book. Can't go out with you this weekend. Can't go to the movies. Can't go out to eat. I can't do this. No, I'm going to be busy. I'm shutting it down. You will have to make those types of sacrifices. You know, if you sacrifice much, then you will gain much. If you sacrifice little, you will gain little. So it's just pretty much up to your level, the level of sacrifice that you're willing to make at this juncture in your life. And once you get that complete, then you can pretty much determine if you want to self-publish or if you want to send your manuscript to some publishing companies to let them take a look at it. Even if you're not going to go with the publishing company, sometimes you or even one of those that create your own, print your own, some of those. If you wanted another set of eyes on it just to look at it, to get their input or their feedback, sometimes that's a good thing to do as well. So you can definitely, you know, just look at doing those things and just keep moving. Keep moving till you're done. Keep moving. Set that time. Get it done. Keep moving until you're done.
Well, thank you so very much for that. And the book is very interesting. So I know I really need to finish it because I remember one time I hadn't touched the book for a while. I actually started writing the book in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
When I first wrote the book, I got it. I ended up really getting it self-published through Lulu.com. And then when I actually got the hard copy in my hand, I was like, you know what? No, I'm missing something. I felt like it was more that needed to be in the book. But just to see that copy, it kind of encouraged me to push a little bit more. So I'm going to get back to it because writing is a part of me I always have. That's how I've always been able to really release things that may have been on my heart or whatever. I write. I've always been a writer ever since I was little. So I'm going to get back in. I'm writing. I'm going to get back in. So, Ms. Tule, I most definitely enjoyed this show tonight. I really appreciate, you know, hearing your story. And it just encouraged me, like I was saying early on different levels in my life, just to see that I am a survivor, despite what I may be facing or what I have faced before in my life. I'm still a survivor, and I'm a survivor for a reason. So I thank you so very much for being a part of Miracles Do Happen radio show on tonight. Our time is coming to an end, so I would like to close out in a word of prayer before we come to an end. So, dear Father God, we thank you once again for this opportunity, Father God, for us to be able to come together here on Miracles Do Happen radio show, Father God, for us to be able to be transparent, to share our stories, Father God, to uplift and encourage and edify each other, Father God, to give us all the courage that we need to push forward into who you're calling us to be, Father God. Excuse me. God, I pray that on tonight that each one of the listeners will walk away with something, Father God, that will encourage them to know that they are a survivor, that you have given them another chance, Father God, to fulfill their purpose, to do what it is that their heart desires to do, Father God. So, God, I pray that as we walk away from tonight's call, Father God, that you continue to minister to our souls, Father God, and that you give us strength to continue to push and to know that we are survivors despite what we see, despite what we face in our life right now, God. And, God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, Father God. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your forgiveness, Father God, and we thank you for another chance, God. Father God, I pray that your will be done, and in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sis. I appreciate you having me on the show tonight.
And you're welcome. And to sum it up with a quote I have for you guys, after a while, I looked in the mirror and realized, wow, after all those hurts, scars, and bruises, after all those trials, I really made it through. I did it. I survived that which was supposed to kill me. So I straightened my crown and walk away like a boss. I love you guys. Thank you so very much for being a part of Miracles Will Happen radio show. For all my listeners, thank you for listening tonight. Tune in next Monday night at 8 p.m. with my guest host, Ms. Jamisa Miracles, as we talk about helping her to fight for a kidney. I love you guys. God bless. And know that we are survivors.
Amen. God bless.